I'm going to give America an opportunity to decide whether they want to accelerate World War III or delay World War III. But ultimately, World War III cannot be stopped. It can be accelerated or halted.
Prophet Tomi Oriomi, it's great to have you back here to kind of do a prophetic update. At the beginning of the year, you did an interview with me about what God was saying for the year 2024. And I must say that we are definitely seeing a lot of those things already coming to fruition. And it's only August at this point. And recently you just released a word about the economy and the Dow. And that was just a few days ago. And as we're recording this, the Dow just had one of its biggest one-day hits with dropping more than 1,000 points in a day. So, brother, what is it that God is saying? And tell us more about this word that you released.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. It's always good to be with you, John. And on July 24th, I was woken up at 7:18 a.m. and I saw this vision of men in the Wall Street, I guess. And they were yelling, "The Dow Jones, what happened to the Dow Jones?" And it was as if overnight a thief had broken in and stolen. And all of a sudden I saw the Dow begin to plummet. And listen, I have a twin brother who is very well versed in the stock exchange. In fact, that's his whole life, is staring at that thing, he tried to teach me it, and the bull and the bear, he lost me at bull and bear. I just switched off. So I don't know what the Dow is. I don't know what the Dow Jones is. I've seen it on the news, but it's a language to me that it just sounds foreign, you know. Very clear, the Dow has fallen. And so I just decided, I was doing an interview that day for a friend of mine called Elizabeth Tyler-Fook, and I was doing it with another prophet. And the Lord just reminded me of that vision. He said, "Share it now." And I said, "Oh, I had a vision and I saw the Dow fall," and people were just yelling, "The Dow has fallen, the Dow has fallen." And literally, I was with my spiritual son and he's here in the studio, and a notification just came on my phone from, I think it was Fox News. And it says that they're panicking because the Dow has fallen. And, these things, when, you know, people think that I'm like not surprised when I hear these things, I'm surprised every single time. You know, I'm like a child in the Lord every time he speaks. I feel like both the prophet and the recipient. And I just sit there and I go, "Oh my goodness, that was just a day before." And then day after we see that it was like a thief, just exactly like the Lord said it. We just suddenly hit a recession, or we're coming into what looks like a recession. And that's what the Lord showed me.
So, brother, what do we do about this? Because I know that God doesn't just show us things for us to do nothing about it. Either it's a sign or a signal, or there is opportunities for us to respond. I love that all throughout the Old Testament, like the prophet Jonah, he prophesied to Nineveh that God was going to destroy the city, but Nineveh then repented. And so there was an action, there was a response to that. Whenever you have this vision, this understanding, and you've had multiple dreams, you've had other things that the Lord has said, what do we do about this and how do we respond?
Well, two things. First of all, I think that the mercy of God around the world is no longer serving the purpose for which it was intended. And I say that with the fear of the Lord. I was speaking to my spiritual mother on this just yesterday, and she was talking about how she saw what happened in France when they had that Last Supper and they were, basically profaning the name of the Lord and blaspheming. And she heard God say, "I will not be mocked." Well, I heard God say, "I've humbled bigger towers than the Eiffel Tower." And he reminded me of Babel. I mean, the fear of the Lord came over me. And again, I'm not saying anything about the Eiffel Tower, but I am saying that I believe Paris is going to go through a time of humbling for what they did, because God will not be mocked. But one of the things I began to realizes that the mercy of God serves its purpose. It really does. It gives us permission to lean into grace, not permission to continue in sin. And when we find that it's leaning the other way, then God is obligated to release his judgment. The Bible says the anointing is to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord. And so, yes, we've proclaimed the grace and the year of his mercy, but now we're in the decade of his judgment. And the Bible says, when my people see judgment, they'll learn righteousness. Nothing like September 11th to fill the church. Nothing like it to fill the church, you know? So when we see judgment, it forces us back into, oh my goodness, we've got to get back into alignment with God. So even in God's judgment, there's a purpose to it. And Ananias and Sapphira did not die for the sake of Ananias and Sapphira. They died for the sake of the fear of God coming back to the church. And the Bible says everybody feared, and they dared not add themselves to the number except such as shall be saved. So we are going to see God's judgment being released in the earth, John. But what I see is the church's responsibility can be found in Exodus chapter 10. The Bible talks about a darkness coming upon Egypt that could be felt. Isaiah 60 talks about this darkness again, saying darkness will cover the earth. It talks about the conditions that are the precursors to glory. And so when we see recession, of course, bad news, depending on whose side you're on. If you're sitting in the darkness, it's terrible news. But if you have an understanding of the glory of God, then you're actually positioned very well on the side of God's glory. And in Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21, he said, stretch out your hands over the land of Egypt, and there's going to be a darkness which can even be felt, a demonic darkness, which I believe we're in right now. But then it says in verse 22, so Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I believe that it's a prophetic hour to build Goshen. They were in Goshen at that time. What is Goshen? Goshen is a place. Supernatural. It's a mixture of supernatural supply and biblical wisdom. It's a place where the church begins to go in Moses' day. They experienced the miracles in Goshen. In Joseph's day, they experienced the principles of Goshen. I believe it's two. In Moses' day, God preserved them in Goshen through signs and wonders and miracles. In Joseph's day with Pharaoh, God preserved them through wisdom and biblical principles. I believe we're going to see supernatural provision and a mixture of that with biblical wisdom to achieve wealth that will lend to many nations and not borrow.
Wow. So this is really encouraging, actually, you know, the fact that there's darkness all around, but we don't have to be trapped in that darkness. And this is actually an opportunity where, you know, as we're talking about the children of Israel, when they ended up leaving Egypt, they took with them the wealth of the Egyptians. And so even though there's dark times and there's difficult times, God will use that to fund ministry, to fund his people in powerful ways if we're paying attention, if we're doing the things that he's called us to do.
Yes.
How do we hear those things that God is calling us to do in those moments? Because I know it's not just one strategy. There's going to be God speaking to a lot of different people. How are you equipping people to be ready for these new strategies?
Well, interestingly, you know, depending on what side of the body of Christ you sit on, to some people, I'm a great blessing in terms of the prophetic insights that the Lord gives me. And I'm grateful for programs like yours that give platform to the word of the Lord. And then on some, I'm the worst thing that can ever happen because it flies in the face of cessationism and the doctrine of that, which is becoming more and more popularized in our generation, sadly. And so I'd like to say on both sides, I hear both arguments very well. I hear the argument that receives the profits and I hear the argument that rejects it. And on the side of the argument that receives it, they understand that the profits are vital, necessary to the advancement of the church. Trust in the Lord your God and trust his prophets and prosper. So I believe that. But on the other side, I believe if we can get past the religiousness of, you know, stick to the Bible, don't believe in these prophets. Prophets died in the Old Testament. We don't need them anymore. We need the scripture. Jesus is our final prophet. On that other side, I hear the fear of the extreme of becoming people's prophetic guru. You know, I preached a message once, I'm not your guru, because I don't believe that the prophets are supposed to be the gurus of the people. I believe the prophets, a pastor should equip the church to be pastoral. A prophet should equip the church to be prophetic. That means every person, according to John 10:27, can hear God's voice. In fact, the New Testament is the democratization of the prophetic. That's what it is. Mm. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And even he even made a point to say, even the handmaidens, which we don't have anymore in America, I know that, but in, at least in Africa and Asian countries, we can understand what a house help is or a house staff is. Even the handmaidens, like the house helps, are going to prophesy. So we see this massive democratization of the prophetic in the New Testament. That doesn't mean we don't have office prophets anymore, but it means that if you want to know how to thrive in this season, you won't be able to thrive unless you hear the voice of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we need to not just hear the prophet speak, we need to become the prophetic people.
Amen. That's so good. You know, you mentioned cessationism becoming something that's kind of more mainstream now, but one of the reasons that I believe that that is happening is because there's, on the other side, sensationalism when it comes to the spiritual gifts. So you have cessationists and sensationalists. So how do we, the people of God, walk in that middle place where we're not weird and we're not denying the power of God?
Well, I actually believe another big reason for the phenomenon is the social media phenomenon of exposing people. You know, you go viral for exposure. The moment you say exposing Tony Arimi, be sure that video is going to get views, right? Because it's just the and that's part of the sensationalism of the cessationism movement. That's their own sensationalism. But whether we like it or not, we need each other. Whether you like it or not, you actually need the Pharisees. You need the Sadducees. They serve their purpose because they keep you balanced. Because you say, how do you draw that balance? Prophets are extreme. I mean, you look through the scripture, you're not going to find a prophet who was sensible. You know, they ate from, you know, feces, they walked around naked, they lay on one half side of their body for a number of days, and some of them asked people to strike them just so they can appear like they've been wounded in battle. And I mean, it's the nature of prophets to be extreme, and that's why God has a fivefold, because we are a check and a balance to each other so that we don't go into the extremes. The pastor's extreme is hyper grace. The evangelist extreme is soul winning, but not soul grounding. The prophet's extreme is rebuke and tearing down and overthrowing, but never really building or planting anything. The apostle's extreme is every week they have a new vision, but nothing ever gets to be established long enough before they're pioneering something else. And so it's necessary that if you want balance, we have to almost be willing to engage those people who have the other extremes that we don't have.
Wow. I always love talking to you because you have such wisdom on the spiritual things, on the spirit, the fivefold ministry. I love how you just explained the tension between the different offices. There's a lot that we can learn with that. I'm sure we might have to spend a whole nother session going deeper about that as well. But I know God's been speaking to you prophetically in dreams, and you know, our world today is, well, let's just be honest. There is a political season right now, and there's a lot of confusion. In 2020, there was a lot of confusion because people were giving prophetic words that Donald Trump was going to become the president. And that didn't happen the way that they were saying. And some people have repented. Some people have said, I was adding on to what God was saying. Some people have said, no, this is what God said. And they're still not backing down. And it's almost 4 years later. Brother, how do we deal with this, with kind of the, I'm just going to say it, the abuse of the prophetic office? How do we restore that? How do we be a part of that? And I mean, we're going into a political season. Help us understand what God is saying.
I think prophets for so long have been measured by whether or not they can predict the right president during an election cycle. But we've lost sight of what the measurement of the prophetic was. The true prophetic power and grace spoke truth to power and was actually a shadow government in the earth. Before there were kings, there were prophets. Before there were governors, there were prophets. And the prophets were there to tell natural governments when they were in line or when they were out of line. You know, I was reading the story of I think it was Ahijah, Solomon's brother, if I'm correct in his name. Maybe I messed that up, but I think his name was Ahijah. And how he made himself king. And then later held hold of the horns of the temple in fear. And Solomon said, I won't kill you. Then he wanted to marry Abishag, David's concubine that took care of him on his death. And he made this statement. He said, you know that I won the favor of the people and I was meant to be king, but God chose Solomon. And you realize, actually, do prophets miss it? What if Solomon is meant to be king, but we're all having a coronation for the one that stood himself forward? And then if that's the case, then should prophets even be speaking into those things, or should prophets be declaring God's will and let the people declare God's outcome? The church, the people of God. I believe this is so to be true. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I heard preachers preach that message and they say, forever, O God, your word is settled. And they tell people, tell them the word is settled. That's not what it said. It's settled in heaven. That means in heaven, you can be healed and on earth, you can be sick. In heaven, you can be prosperous and on earth, you can be poor. The word is settled in heaven, but it's always unsettled on earth. And so prophets tell you settled matters in heaven. The church is meant to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So even if a matter is settled in heaven, doesn't mean it's settled on earth. I'll give you an analogy that I use for our church. I said to them, imagine getting a court document to remove a squatter. I've never seen so many squatters' rights as in America. To remove a squatter from one of our properties was a nightmare. To remove a squatter from your property, you have to go get a court document stating that you can serve the squatter an eviction notice. So you go get the document and you serve it to the squatter, and the squatter still refuses to move. Does that mean that the court document was wrong? No. The court document, let's call it prophecy. What is the church supposed to be? You need to call the enforcer. The court is the legislator. They're not the enforcer. It's the church that prays that are the enforcers of what God said. And so we have this sovereignitis in the church where we think because the prophet said it, it's going to happen. If it's going to happen, why did Paul say, by prophecy, wage a good warfare? That means there's something on the earth that does not want something in the heavens to be a done deal. It wants to fight it. That means if Solomon's going to be king, we're going to make sure Abiathar's king. If David is going to keep his kingdom as prophesied, we're going to raise up an Absalom who's pretty. The Bible says he was handsome. Everything aesthetically that that kingdom would want. And we're going to make him the front man. And he's going to ride 50, set up for himself chariots, 50 chariots. And he's going to go to all the provinces and proclaim himself as king. The scripture says this, they set up kings, but not by me. Another scripture says that the nation will remain unsettled until him to whom the crown was meant shall fall upon him. Think about this. It's possible to set up kings, but not by God. So were the prophets wrong, or did we set up kings? Did we set up who we wanted to win? Are we the ones choosing our Absaloms? What is the spirit of Absalom? Really, it's the spirit of beauty. Absalom is the aesthetic cosmetic that everybody will want to vote for. He's the stealer of hearts, not the prophetic counsel of God. And America is doing the same thing. America is guilty of voting based on cosmetics. We want a woman. America cares more about making, they care more about making history at this point than they care about making heaven. At this point, America has this disease of, we want a black person, we want a woman, we want this, instead of, hey, have we checked what the policies of these people are? Have we checked if they align with the scripture? And the Spirit of God said to me to tell America, in your next elections, you don't need a president. You need a commander in chief. For where America is going, a president will not suffice. You need a commander in chief.
Wow. So I guess presiding is different than commanding.
Absolutely.
In a big way.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate how you just explained that. And going back to the Old Testament of how people proclaim themselves king outside of God's desire, outside of God's purpose and will. And we need to constantly be making sure that we are aligning with God's will, with God's word, with his declaration that goes forth. So are you saying that this, what we've gone through in the last 4 years was judgment for us not lining up with God's will, and we're at another decision point right now? Help me understand that.
I'm going to be bold enough on this program to say for the first time, yes, I believe America made a detour choice. And I believe it had to. I believe God gives nations what they deserve, not what he's reserved. He has reserved a person, but then he says, judging by the way the nation is going, I'm going to give the nation what it deserves. Look at what happened during 2020. I want us to just go back and reflect a little bit. We saw, first of all, a movement called Black Lives Matter, which right from the beginning, I was very clear, and I didn't mince my words, as a black man, and I was called Uncle Tom for this. This is not Black Lives Matter. This is Black Magic Matters. There's something demonic about this movement, and the church needs to open its eyes to see. Flash forward, we later find out that there were three transgender witches who wanted to end the nuclear home, who worshipped a Yoruba god. Yoruba is my tribe in Nigeria. And they worship the same God. In fact, there's a video of the founder, Patrice Cullors, talking about that Yoruba deity and how she pours libation in the water to that deity. It's a water spirit. It's called the marine goddess. And she pours libation. So anytime you say the name of the dead, you invoke the spirits of the dead to wreak havoc upon America. So what they said, and I'm quoting their words, it's more than just a hashtag. We are invoking the spirits of the dead every time we post, say his name. We're invoking the dead to rise up again. So America during 2020 was caught up in witchcraft, was caught up in idolatry, was choosing And majority of the American church did not come to celebrate at the ending of Roe versus Wade. In fact, we saw a huge swath, unfortunately, by and large, of the African-American church, sadly, choose to be angry. And some still are furious about the ending of Roe versus Wade. And so how can one prophesy into a double-minded nation that's so unstable that it doesn't even know what the Bible says? It's politicizing sin. It's turning sin into a political issue. And then we have this group of prophets who, for all intents and purposes, forgive me for saying this, a large majority of them saw the opportunities to go viral and to be as sensationalist as they could, that we started calling out names instead of calling out sin. And we opted for the popular route of, let me call out the name of this new president, instead of the more obvious thing that prophets are called to do, which is say to things that may get us killed. You know, I was arrested in Nigeria for prophesying truth to power, and you know that story. I believe that's what prophets are. Not your name is John and I see a new car, a Rolls Royce coming in your future. You can get that from a soothsayer and a necromancer. The job of the prophets is to bring the nation back to righteousness. That's our job, to tear down. To what are we tearing down? We're not being destructive. We're being disruptive for the sake of realignment with God's will. We're saying this, we're saying the baby's ugly. We're saying the thing everybody calls beautiful. And we're like, hey, what do you think, Prophet Tommy? And Prophet Tommy looks at you and goes, that's an ugly baby. I don't know if you've noticed, but that baby's wearing makeup. You just rip that makeup off. But everybody wants to pretend like the emperor's wearing clothes. Even the church wants to pretend that the emperor's wearing clothes. I watched the CNN debates. I didn't need to be a prophet to know that that man was not in his right mind. I didn't need to be a prophet. But it's like all of a sudden, it's like we're just, Biden may be in cognitive decline. They could see that from Russia. They could see that from far away. But we were propping up this ailing, weak man, who, by the way, in the last 4 years, 64% of all the money printed in America was printed under his administration. Just to tell you what has caused this, in case they say it's Russia-Ukraine war, nothing to do with that. It turns out when you print money, money becomes valueless. And so you don't need a prophet to see some of the things that are happening, but it's like we see it, and we're just like, we're happy with the direction the nation is going in. And I don't mean to lean into political slump, but I remember when Biden won, I just remember the Lord saying, tell them you have 9 years left. And I just felt like things were just going to move so quickly that we weren't going to be able to catch up with what God was doing. And in those 9 years, I saw 9 years to build Goshen, 9 years before money as we know it changes forever, 9 years before we hit a recession. I saw new Supreme Court justices being appointed. I shared these things. I shared 12 prophetic things for the United States of America. Sorry, 18. I didn't mince any of my words. I said in one of the 18, I said I saw Donald Trump being assassinated and pray that he's not assassinated. 18 landmarks, all 18 of them have happened. All 18 of them have happened. Now, why am I saying this? Well, because God allows prophets to tell the future so that prophets have influence to tell people, if that what God's saying about the future, imagine what he's saying about there now. If God cares so much about your future, he cares much more about your present, by the way, and what you're doing right now. And he's calling the nation back to repentance. We don't need to be, you know, we're not blind to see when President Biden starts inviting transgenders to the White House, or Kamala Harris starts inviting black rappers to twerk on the stage to bring up numbers. We're in an era where we are turning the White House into a prostitution ring for votes. And that's not God. We got to get back on our face.
Wow. So, brother, you said that God gave you a word that America has 9 years left. When did that word happen, and where does that put us to? Where does that 9 years land?
So that word happened at 2021. It lands at 2030. So the Lord first gave me the word in 2021. He said, tell them you have 9 years left, and 9 years will feel like 9 months. 9 months will feel like 9 days, and 9 days will feel like 9 minutes and 9 seconds. And then there's this news article that came out, like, it just clockwork. The world is spinning faster than normal. Scientists are baffled as to why the earth is spinning faster than normal, and time seems to be speeding up. I believe it was a prophetic sign. And then John Kerry came out in a newspaper article almost a few weeks after saying, tell the world you have 9 years left to fix the economic crisis. I believe the world is going to plan a new economic reset. I believe they know the dollar is failing. I believe many leaders are repositioning themselves around a new form of governance and a new form of currency. Mm-hmm. I actually believe that they're positioning the leaders of this new front to be China, to be Russia. I believe to be some of the Middle Eastern nations. I believe we're going to see Saudi Arabia take a new front in leading the world stage in the future. I believe we're going to see that come very strongly, even in terms of Saudi Arabia trying to broker peace and rise up as the Middle Eastern peace. I believe they're going to be one of the successful nations that are going to reunify the peace accords. I literally heard the Lord say, if the nation votes Kamala, you'll see the peace discord. If you vote Trump, you will see the peace accord, because the Lord says, I'm going to give America an opportunity to decide whether they want to accelerate World War III or delay World War III. But ultimately, World War III cannot be stopped. It can be accelerated or halted. And I actually see that, you know, by 2030, we're going to see a total reset if the church doesn't take back its authority to own the land. Back in the day, the church used to own land. The church used to own Hollywood. Long before we had secular infiltration in our movies, Hollywood was owned by the church. Harvard was owned by the church. Many of our state universities and colleges, Oxford, was owned by the church. We gave away our territory. And now I believe God wants us to reclaim it.
Amen. Amen. Brother, we're going to have to do another session. I always get so much out of talking with you. Would you pray for the people that have been listening this far, and just share whatever it is that the Lord has put on your heart for them, that they would be able to be part of that Goshen, that they would be the ones that would be able to do what God's called us to do? Sure.
Yes, sir. I feel heavy on my heart for you that are watching from all over the U.S. And this is my appeal to you. Do not choose the superficial over the supernatural. Do not be more intent on making history than you are on making heaven. There's something God is calling America to still do in the earth, to halt something that the enemy is trying to accelerate. America, you stand as the last place of freedom in the world. And it is my prayer that you choose policy over skin color, that God will give you wisdom to see, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone watching right now. Lord, there's so much contention and division in the U.S. that Elijah the prophet said, how long will you hobble and falter between two opinions? Father, I break right now every assignment of the enemy to bring blindness over the eyes of your people. I command their eyes to be open, their ears to be open now. Father, release the spirit of grace and supplication upon this nation, that we may look upon him whom we have pierced, that we may look upon Jesus again and not look upon leaders of this world to bring about our change. Cause your people to build Goshen. Father, you empowered hundreds of thousands, if not millions of slaves, to gain the wealth of an entire superpower. You've done it before. Lord, we pray, do it again. Empower your church to operate in a new season of wealth that we can lend to many nations and not borrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Prophet Tomi, thank you so much for being with us today here on Charisma.
Thank you.